Yeah, see, a lot of times we think we train for the easy parts. Hugging people, oh, give me a cup of coffee, let's go visit our friend. No, we train for the moment when everything is demolished. When you're ready to say, this is it, I'm done. And you'll hear heaven say, this is what you've been practicing for. This is what you've been training for, the 12th rep. God will be there and he'll help you, but push through. Because when you do, always remember, plants grow the best in sifted soil.
Plants grow best in sifted soil. Well, welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was describing the endless hours he and his brother endured one summer, sifting dirt through a screen to remove rocks and shale so they could have fallow soil in which to grow a garden. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, when you are sifted.
I've got seven expectations that God's going to break down. Number one, remember, the church will not always make you feel comfortable. Except today, we got air conditioning. That's nice. The second thing is, others in the church may not hold your opinion on all things. How many of you understand that's to be true? Yeah. And number three, you might leave the church sometimes unhappy, particularly when God reveals a shortcoming or sin in your heart against the light of his righteousness. So, ooh, that's me. Ouch. And so it may not always make you feel good, but you'll understand the truth. Here's a good one. The song selection won't always be your cup of tea, and it won't always be played in the arrangement of the era that you prefer. I'd rather have a Tommy Dorsey kind of era, you know, or Lawrence Welk. Others say, I want Bruno Mars. It won't always happen your way. And then the next, if you're a single person, going to church will not guarantee you a spouse. Let me get that straight right now, just saying. I can't think of a better place to find a spouse than in church. Number six, going to church will not guarantee that your children will not make bad choices. That's where we have to teach the generation upcoming. But here's a good one. You might dislike the color of the carpet, the taste of your coffee, but you'll always love the shirt your pastor wears. I made that one up myself. But it's going to break down old expectations. And the second thing, would you write down, is going to break down old habits. Old habits. I want to introduce you to Alvin Toffler, who wrote the book Future Shock. He said something interesting. He said the literate of the 21st century will not be those who can read or write. Those who are going to be the literate in the 21st century will be those who can learn, unlearn, and relearn. You see, because there's some things in your past that you learned that doesn't hold water today. You have to unlearn them. Well, you know, so-and-so told me and I learned this. Oh, yeah, but against the light of God's truth and what he's saying today, you may realize that that was good advice for back then, but it's not good advice now. It doesn't hold water. You ratchet back to the Word of God. You ratchet back to the Word of God. Well, that means I have to unlearn what I learned in. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There was a assembly taking place at an all-girls school in Hawaii, and the bishop came and took some question and answers, and one girl said, you know, the Bible says homosexuality is wrong, but you know, we live in a society today. What do you think? Our society accepts it and it's normal, and you have to love people, right? And the bishop said, yeah, you know, the Bible does say homosexuality is wrong, but it was written a long time ago, and we're a lot different today. We've learned so much since that time. And I thought, oh, no. The Word of God is infallible. Now, we will need to ratchet up to God's word, or we will bring his word down to us. Do we love? Absolutely. Do we care for? Absolutely. But if someone does something wrong just because he's my child, let's say he steals a car, I'm not going to now say car stealing is okay because I love my son. No, it's still wrong. I love my son, but that's wrong. And we have to understand, we have to take the light from the dark and separate that. And the Bible says God's word is going to do that. Get used to it, because it'll break down some old expectations. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our faith in the sifting. And that's why Jesus said, I pray that your what not fail? Your faith not fail. And a lot of people bail out in the 12th rep, and they actually lose their faith in the 12th rep. But if you'll understand the language of God and what he's doing, building you a future and a hope, then you'll go, I'll stick with the 12th rep. Even though I think I'm spent, and then the world says I'm spent, and the world tells me I'm a victim, and I've got to be like such and such. No, I'm going to keep pressing. God's going to put, whether it's two fingers or three, he's going to help me bring that weight up, and something will change. And when it's done, I will have a new strength and a new level of faith that can be gained by no other means except sifting. And so it's going to break down old expectations, and it's going to break down some old habits. But if you think like a farmer, it will really help you. What season am I in? Let's read what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says it. Would you read it with me? Go. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Heaven has certain purposes in your life and mine, and there's a season for that. Springtime is an active time. We've got to recognize that and work really hard. Lori, would you bring me that stick up there, that green one? Yeah, thank you. And thank you. I'm going to use this for a little illustration here. I'm going to ask you, what season are you in? Because during these certain seasons, you have to work hard. Is it a season for family? A family season. Some of us are in a family season. We've got to concentrate not on work, not on play, on family. Do you know what season you're in? Maybe it's a season for a personal and emotional health. You just got to work on personal health. Maybe it's a season for organizing your life. It's in chaos. Your room is in chaos. Office is in chaos. Shop's in chaos. And God is saying, this is a season to organize. We're going to get some things organized. Maybe to renew certain relationships. Oh, it's so easy then to get distracted because certain relationships take discipline. But remember, the two pains in life, pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Maybe it's a season to focus on one or more of your children, or maybe your spouse, to let everything else drop and work on it. Will it be forever like that? No, for this season. And you're painting fences when you should be harvesting. Okay, now I'm understanding the language of God and what he's saying. To everything there's a season. Yeah. Sometimes we wish our lives would be balanced, and we put what we call a balance or a fulcrum right in the middle. Now, sometimes we say, you know, when does our marriage begin and work? How do you balance life with marriage and work? Or what about children? My children are taking so much time, and then I've got work to do. How do you balance life? Because I got to have family and work. Okay, I got balance. Okay, you kids, don't move. Work, wife, don't move. Nobody move. And we think that's how life is balanced. But in actuality, life is never balanced. It moves. It moves from season to season. And there's going to be times you're going to have life pretty much balanced. And you go, whoo, finally got it balanced. And then you've got your marriage over here on one side. And God is going to put weight on that. You need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. He's going to put weight on one side here. And if you're not careful, your whole life will start to cascade because it's off balance. If this were the fulcrum, but let's call it again your heart, here's what God is saying. When your marriage needs work, because that's a season, and I'm going to start sifting this area of your life, you're going to have to get rid of some things and keep other things. You understand? Yes. So when I put pressure on one end of your life, how do you keep this balanced? You move the fulcrum. And life is like a moving fulcrum. You move your heart towards what God is putting his finger on. Sometimes he's going to put his finger on your marriage. Move your heart that way, your attention that way, your focus that way. For us to just say, oh, I don't know what's going on, that's why it cascades and sinks. And you go, God, why'd you do that? Yeah, when God puts a finger on an area of your life, move your heart that way. And now it's balanced. And then at another season of your life, God's going to put his finger on your finances. Move your heart that way, your focus that way, your energy that way, that it won't be like that forever. Sometimes we keep it like this because God spoke to us about finances and we started to get successful and balanced, and now God's working on our family and we don't move our heart. When you start moving your heart towards whatever God is putting his finger on, you know what that's called? It's called living by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading you. This is what I am working on. This is where you're being sifted. This is your season of life. And it might be personal morality. Move your heart that way. And then I'm going to say, good, you got that balance. Now I'm going to work on this certain relationship that you have neglected. And you move your heart that way. And believe it or not, that's still balanced when the fulcrum or your heart has moved. Because you're being led by the Spirit of God. Some years ago, God spoke to me about spending time with my son, Aaron. And I don't know why, but I just felt the Lord say, do it. So we had a little 9-foot boat. And so I hooked it up to my car and drove to his school. He was in the 6th grade. I went to the principal and I said, can I take my son out of school today? The principal said, yeah, you're the parent. So he walked me to the classroom. And the principal said to the teacher, Aaron, come on out. Boy, you should have seen his eyes. He's like, oh, I'm dead. I'm dog meat. I'm roadkill. And so he came out and he said, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I said, come on, we're going fishing today. He said, what? Yeah, we're playing hooky. Would you like to play hooky with me? He goes, yeah, let's go. So we got into the boat. We spent the rest of the day fishing. You know, till this day, believe it or not, I don't know the divine reason, but I do know when God puts his finger on something, whether you understand it or not, you have to at least understand the language of God and move to cooperate. And one day you'll find out. But that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. What season are you in? Is he sifting an area of your family? Is he putting your marriage up against the mesh or the screen to separate the bad from the good? And he says, I pray that your faith not fail. But here's the cool thing. The last thing is, he'll help you to build strength when you fall. Because each of us will fall. The Bible says it this way in the book of Proverbs. A righteous man falls 7 times, but rises again. You and I are going to stumble and fumble and fall because we're going to try our best, but we mess up. But instead of letting you mess up, he gives you 2 fingers and he helps you. He builds your strength when you think you're failing. You know, we learn how to fall when you're in judo or gymnastics, but no one tells us when you feel spent as a Christian, what do you do? No one teaches us that. But I want you to know the language of God, that he's there to help you when you're about to give up. He's the one that gives you the strength. In fact, let's read this last scripture here, would you? Go. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is impaired may not be. Yeah, sometimes you say, my life is impaired. My marriage is impaired. God is saying, you push. This is your 12th rep. Don't give up. And he reaches down and he helps you. He helps you enough to build muscle, but not enough for you to give up and say, I can't do it. No, you keep pushing and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Sifting. What season are you in? Understand the language of God. When you do, you start to cooperate, because that's how God builds faith. It's in sifted soil. Let me finish with this story. In Hawaii, we do a cross the channel race with canoes, carbon fiber canoes. And it's a long race. I shared this with some men. Let me share it with you. I would work out for about 10 months just for this one race, because it's a long race. It's 41 miles across the Molokai Channel. And you're racing with 6 guys in this 40-foot long canoe, and your escort boat is following you. And about every hour or so, half of you jump out in the blue ocean, bail out, 3 other guys take your place, you swim to the escort boat, and you carbo out a little bit and drink some water, they go further up and then they drop you off and then you break the other three and they come in and you keep doing that for 41 miles in the hot sun. You've got to work out maybe 10 months. So I'm swimming, lifting weights, running in the middle of the day with a camelback and drinking water as I'm running because you're getting ready for this and you got to prepare. And I remember the day of the race came, there's 100 and some canoes out on the beach and we launch and the gun goes off and we start paddling as hard as we can. I mean, 100 canoes out there, big, huge Samoan guys just cranking and everyone's energy is up. After about an hour, all the boats are spread out. You can hardly see them over the wakes because it's completely ocean. You can't see any land by this time. After 2 hours, you can't see any other boat. Everyone's choosing their own line. After 3 hours, because it takes about 5 or 6 hours, after about 3 hours, you're the only boat in the ocean, it seems like. And the sun is beating down, and you're hitting waves, and you're going airborne, and kabam again. Sometimes the canoes flip over, and you've got to get it back up and paddle again. After maybe another hour or so, you are so depleted. I started seeing mermaids flying over the boat. And you can hardly paddle anymore. Coming near to the fifth hour, you're totally depleted. You're spent. And then I start asking myself, why in the world did I sign up for this stupid race? And right then, when I'm completely spent, I said in my mind, I'm going to paddle one more time. And when that's done, I'm finished. I'm going to bail out, go to the escort boat, and ride the rest of the way in. Because this is just too much. I mean, I was starting to cramp. My shoulders were hurting. My legs were hurting. I was burning in the sun. And I said, this is it. And when I put my paddle in the water for the very last time, even though there's an hour more to go, I said, I'm done. I put it in the water and pulled. And I said, I'm done. But just as I put it in the water, it's like the Lord said to me, this is the moment you've been training for. The last 10 months, you've been training for this last stroke. When you're ready to give up, this is what all your last 10 months have been for. It's not for the race. Nobody trains for the start of the race. Everybody's excited, right? Like, whoa, nobody trains for the end of the race when you're resting. I mean, do you train for vacation? Like, what are you doing? Training for vacation. No. Nobody trains for rest. Nobody trains to finish it. Because you got all the cameras, even if you're spent, right, in the race, when the cameras come up, all of a sudden you're running like this. You don't train for the rest time. You don't train for the beginning. You train for the moment in a race where you don't want to give it your all anymore. You're done. You gave up in your heart. Well, sometimes you go through the motions, but you're done back there. That's the moment. And God said, this is the moment you've been training for. All the weights that you've lifted, everything that you've been doing, the diet that you've been on, this is the moment. You win here, you win. This is the moment. And listen carefully. How many of us have been in more than 50 services, church services? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you read the Bible? Yeah. How many of you have gone through a men or women's clinic or a conference or something? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many times? Tons of times. How many times have you prayed? Tons of times. And you know what God is saying? You see all of that? That's what you, when you're ready to give up on the 12th rep, whether it's your family, your finances, your friends, your faith, that's what you've been training for, that moment in time when you say, I'm done. Yeah, see, a lot of times we think we train for the easy parts, hugging people, oh, give me a cup of coffee, let's go visit our friend. No, we train for the moment when everything is demolished. When you're ready to say, this is it, I'm done. And you'll hear heaven say, this is what you've been practicing for. This is what you've been training for, the 12th rep. God will be there and he'll help you, but push through. Because when you do, always remember, plants grow the best in sifted soil. That's the language of God. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, When You Are Sifted, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
We are victorious, glorious. Let the church arise. We are victorious, glorious. Bride of Christ, we shine.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.